My Life Now is a half-hour podcast show which regularly features reviews of new releases and all-time classics of both traditionally published and self-published books.
Tune in for special guest interviews and, of course, helpful tips to not only write your next book, but also to help market it.
My Life Now is most often referred to as a great way for authors to get quality exposure and avid readers to discover their next read.
Without further delay, here's another stimulating episode of My Life Now.
Welcome back to another episode of My Life Now. Once again, my name is Dallas here. Today, we have another amazing author, an amazing guest joining us, Nancy Smith. Such a pleasure to have you here today, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to be here, too. Thank you for bringing me on.
My pleasure. Can you tell our audience, where are you located today, Nancy?
I am in Haverhill, Massachusetts, which is right on the border of New Hampshire. I could spit into New Hampshire, and I do all my shopping in New Hampshire. So New England, definitely. Mm-hmm. And all the crazy weather here.
All right. Did you grow up there as well?
I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Okay. So I'm a transplanted Midwesterner. Mm-hmm. So people think I'm weird.
Yeah. I just moved to Texas like 2 weeks ago. And so people think I'm weird too. It's different, right? It's different around the US and things like that, different cultures. And so thank you for joining us again. And you have a book that we're going to be discussing today, Divine Love Affair. And so let's just dive right in. Who are you, Nancy? And what led you to become an author?
Sure. I am. I used to be so many things to tell about myself. I went to art school. I have done an illustrated and designed many books. And I wrote one of my own children's books before I wrote Divine Love Affair and Akashic Journey. And I started walking on this spiritual path, kind of got a spiritual zapperoonie, where I started to see spirit and talk to spirit and talk to dead people, this mediumship. I developed a mediumship skill. And as I developed my mediumship skill, and I was always, stepping back 2 seconds, I was always interested in the spirit, people's soul and spiritual journey. I was mm-hmm. one of those spiritual people. I was going to wanted to grow up to be a nun or something. Thank God that didn't happen. But in the meantime, this gift kind of opened up in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's really important, especially in my development of mediumship, that we understand we are spirits in having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And there's a soul that's guiding us. And when I see people in despair and in grief, I want to help them by remembering who they are as spirits and soul, so that it'll help their journey here mm-hmm. Be a little more full, be a little more joyful, our happiness is in our own hands. And mm-hmm. how do you manage that? How do you pull your well-being and happiness into your own hands? And to me, it's exploring the soul, exploring the spiritual nature of mm-hmm. life. And that's what got me going.
Mm-hmm. And when did you release this book?
Well, this book is, I'm redoing it. It's a revision now, but I did it in 2014. Actually, 2014 and 15, I developed it and released it. I think more in 2015, 16. And I was coming off of a place where my mom had just died and I was recovering from cancer. And I had been doing at least 10 years of mediumship work. And I realized I need to take a hold of this for my own self. Mm-hmm. This Akashic journey is something that really kind of unfolded for me as I was doing my mediumship. We could talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So that's where this comes from.
Yeah. And not the second part of the title, can you just break that down? What does that mean? Because I personally don't understand what that means. And so I'm sure we have audience who don't either. So break that down for us, please.
Well, the word Akasha, I just want to say this, is a historical, it's a very old word from Sanskrit, and it really talks about the gentle, receptive energy of the creator. It's the source. Akasha mm-hmm. is the source. When I talk about the Akashic field of energy, I'm borrowing from Irvin Laszlo, who was a quantum physicist, and Amit Goswami, and also from Larry Dossey, very prominent authors that talk about the one mind, that talk about the one source where everything is coming from. And mm-hmm. so Akasha and the Akashic field is what that concept is embracing. I just use the old word Akasha, which because many people are using it, it's becoming popular now. And then and there's a mystical part about it. And then Akashic records. So the Akashic journey at Divine Love Affair is about having an affair with your spiritual practice, with your spiritual journey. And the spiritual journey is what I call the Akashic journey. I hope I'm making sense here. Mm-hmm. It's really about moving toward the God energy, but I want to take the word God out of it because people are really becoming disenfranchised with their religions and they're becoming more spiritual and less religious. That's kind of the statistics right now is popularly what's happening. But we forget when we drop our religions that we have a whole spiritual practice, a whole spiritual journey that we're still on, whether we go to church or not. And I wanted to address that and really help people understand that maybe their religion has let them down, but their spiritual self and their connection to their soul and source is still there. So if you take the word God out of it, I think sometimes it helps people to step into a spiritual journey without, you know, we have a lot of religious wars happening on the planet right now. And people, a lot of people are being decimated and just dying and their cultures are being ripped apart. And that is not what Source is about. That is not what this Akashic energy is about. It's not taking sides. It's about remembering who you are as a spiritual being. And that Source is love. It's creation. It's compassion. It's high intelligence and love, all based in love.
Yeah. And so my question for hearing those things, you were saying the creator and things like that. So where did it all start? If you could answer that question as well.
Where did what all start?
Everything. You're saying like the energies, these things like this, right? The creator. So are you saying that it is God, the Father, or what? Can you just break that down a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. So in the beginning of my book, I talk about creation stories and I, as many as I could find in the earliest ones I could find. And what I've come to understand, especially with listening to Amit Goswami and Larry Dossey, is that it's an energy. The source where we've come from, it's not a father, it's not a mother. As a matter of fact, creation, in order to create biological beings, the energy broke down into male and female. But when the energy is whole, it's neither male or female. It's an energy and it's an intelligence that, and a highly creative intelligence that holds all things, that has created all things. And that's hard to understand because of our humanity's really identifying with religion. And God the Father is a concept that was created by mankind to understand and to kind of impose religion on people. It used to be God the Mother. That was kind of more prehistoric. And God the Father came in as a patriarch concept. So that's kind of interesting, right? So if you go back way, 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 way back. But a lot of the stories are created from creation started from the mother. And or they started from this primordial egg that just kind of blew up and life started. And that primordial egg to me is about source, is about that loving source where all things come from. Gets kind of heady. And when we're living a normal life, it's kind of too much for us to take in. But I feel this is in this time and age and time, people are ready to step away from God the Father. And they want to know, are they loved just as they are? And can they exist just as they are? And what does that mean? Because we're not fulfilling any roles now. We're being more of who we are authentically and what that could possibly how that could impact our lives, impact our belief systems. I think I'm talking too much.
No, Nancy, continue. Go ahead.
So that's where that concept comes from. It's an organizational principle. A lot of religions and some metaphysical practices are organizational principles that help us to kind of feel our way through it with our brain. And so I'm very compassionate to religious organizational principles, but I see that they're not working. But I really am excited about knowing that we have God within us. We have source within us, and that source is answering to the source that created us. If we're on track, we got some good stuff going.
Yeah.
Coming the week of Christmas to bookstores and Amazon, In the Eye of the Centaur is a science fiction tale with fantasy creatures featuring Terra the Dryad from the Orion's Belt constellation. It seems Terra can't do anything right as she struggles to make friends and strains to win a video game contest when she is abducted by space-faring pirates. She escapes to Earth, where she is attacked by Captain Moore and chased into the clutches of an ice-breathing dragon. Through her journey, Terra discovers friendship, self-confidence, and self-acceptance from Matthew 22:38. This Christian-friendly novel by Stephen Decknick features valiant female lead characters and does not contain any sexual content or profanity. To see more of this, visit www.terrahthedryad.weebly.com.
All right. And so what do you hope to give your audience through reading this book? I know that, like you said, this is not a new book. This is a revision of the book. But what have you been able to give your audience over the last almost 10 years?
Oh, I know. I taught for this material for about 6 or 7 years before I wrote the book. And then when I wrote the book, it's been out for 10 years. So this information's been out there. And what I'm hoping people will get from this is of the beginnings of how to build a spiritual practice for themselves, connecting to their soul, connecting to their guides, that fulfills them, that helps them to see, oh, there's another pathway here that really helps me. Some people tell me that this book, there's a lot of theology or a lot of heavy duty stuff in it, but I try to break it down into a kind of storytelling, and then here's the philosophy behind that, and here's exercises that you could do to create in your life, to have a spiritual path. And when life bites us in the butt, and it will, and when we get to the dark night of the soul, and it will come, we have tools to walk ourselves through. And when we're making a decision to be happy in our lives, we have tools to help us go forward in a good, positive way. And that's what I'm hoping this book does for people, to take the despair out of life and put the creativity in this life. My philosophy for a long time is I watch things change, and things are always changing in the world politically. And then also the weather patterns are changing. And we're talking about global warming or whatever it is, the shifts that are happening. We become despair with change. The change is coming. Oh my gosh. But when we see the beautiful spiritual connections and plans, we realize we're in another phase of creation, and we can change along with it, and we'll be just fine.
Yeah. And you were talking about the tools that we have to be happy and things like that. Break that down, some practical things that we can do for what you're saying here.
A practical thing to do right off the bat is to breathe deeply. And when we breathe deeply, we relax our body. We tell our bodies we're okay. And when we tell our bodies that we're okay, our body starts to get more relaxed and better ideas start to flow through our mind. So the first thing to do is to breathe deeply. And the second thing I like to talk to people about is find the joy in your life. Find where you can be grateful. Find what's working, and find what's not working, and move towards what is working so that you could trust yourself to make good choices. And all of those self-love steps will allow spirit, your higher source, your higher self to sneak in, because when we're busy, struggling to survive, we don't let our higher self in. We don't let our spiritual self in. But when we calm down by breathing deeply, by looking at what's happening in our lives that we love, that nurture us, and sticking to that, then we start to trust ourselves enough to let the bigger love in.
Yeah.
And that's the first most foundational steps that we would take. And then from there, you can go to wherever you want, understanding that we are made of energy, and energy, everything's made of energy, and it's malleable. It's changeable. I love doing, my friend taught me how to bend spoons just so I could understand that as I move into this energetic way of thinking, I can take the spoon and bend it. We can bend ourselves or expand ourselves into being who we want to be, who we dream to be, using the tools of breathing, calming, and connecting to higher source to create the change. You know that saying, be the change that you want to see in the world? And people go, oh, that's so good. Right. And then I go, well, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. So this practices in this book will help you be the change you want to see in the world. That's kind of what I'd love for people to figure that one out.
Yeah. And so would you say that's kind of the end all goal, is for people to be who they want to be? That's kind of like the movement that you're working with, is for the people to become who they want to be.
Who they want to be and who they really are, access their heavy duty creative soul power, a superpower that everyone has within themselves. We are all important and we all matter and we all are a piece of the puzzle. If you think of the internet and there's these little hubs all over the world that connect energy so we could read other people's websites or however all that works. Well, all of us are tiny little hubs in this network of life. So if one hub starts to not work so well, it'll affect the hubs around it and, you know, shared thinking. But if one hub becomes its most primary creative loving self, that also affects all the hubs around it. It's metaphysically, that's called the law of vibration, where everything vibrates and the vibrations want to match each other. They all want to be in sync. They all want to kind of flow in harmony. And when we come forward in our lives with our best, highest self, we just inspire other people around us to be their best, highest self. There's a lot of despair in the world. There's a lot of death in the world. There's a lot of violence in the world. And we can change that with being the best that we can be. Yeah. It's just there's small one-on-one changes, but one-on-one and watch it grow is the excitement of this piece.
Mm-hmm. This darkness, this despair that you're talking about, what's causing this? If you could answer that for me, what's the cause behind this?
Yeah, I think we have I could go on for hours about this, and I want to simplify it. I'm going to see if I can I'm asking my guides to help me simplify it, but I feel that we have conflict within ourselves constantly, based on our own humanity. You could almost look at, we have the lizard brain, and then we have the left and the right brain, and even our brain is at conflict with each other. And I feel that it's about developing not your brain, but developing your heart, so that it impacts your brain, so that your brain goes where you want it to go. And I hope I'm answering the question, but I feel like the conflict of all of the darkness in the world is from inner conflict of maybe world leaders or influencers that are bringing their darkness out and saying, this is the truth. Not so much, it's not the truth, but it's so persuasive because that dark truth relates to every single person on the planet, to their reptilian brain. But if we bring the light truth in, people can recognize that as well. And so which one do you want to harmonize with? Which way do you want to go? Does it,
it makes sense. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
You go on so many different tangents with that. I'm going to break it down to its simplest form. Are you going with the dark side or are you going with the light side?
That's right.
It's not that simple, but you know what I mean.
And another question involving kind of the practical side, what would you say are the biggest deterrents from joy, happiness, being who we're supposed to be, things like that?
Fear. Fear talks to us and tells us that we're not safe, that we're not going to be okay, and that we have to fight for everything that we have. And we have inner belief systems that have developed around fear, and they speak from our unconscious mind louder than anything else in our lives. And they often go on automatic pilot and take over our thinking. And so becoming your aware self and realizing how you're thinking and how it's serving you or how it's not serving you, you are now at choice to make a shift. If that answers your question.
Yeah. And how can I do that? How can I make that shift? Kind of like you're saying.
Breathe. And remember that you're not all that you think. You're not all that you feel. Just breathe. And I have a couple of exercises in the book where it's called mind mapping, where you can feel your emotions and feel all your reactions around your emotions, because we suppress our our root emotions are generally suppressed, and we have all kinds of reactions around them. And those reactions talk about what we truly believe in that aren't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And when we observe ourselves that way and get to the root emotion, emotion is energy in motion, and it's changeable. As soon as it delivers its message and you start to think about it and work it from, say in sacred space from a higher source, get some help from the angels or your guides, you can change it. You can change what you're thinking. But if you stay in that, I guess you could call it limited thinking, or I call it stuck energy of fear, which is sometimes triggered by trauma, we won't go anywhere. And the fear will build on fear, will build on more fear. And I love listening to some of the reading stuff or listening to Audible, some of these writers that write these horror stories. and like, what delicious fear they've got going on, and what delicious belief systems that create this. And we're creating these fears, not we, but it's some people, some leaders are creating this fear that's causing the wars, that's causing starvation, animal abuse. It's fear and the emotion of fear. And can you learn to be your aware self and recognize what you're doing? And that aware self needs support, I feel, from a higher power, from your heavenly guides, or we're on our own, and we're not alone. We're never alone. And, but we feel like we are. And when you really, really feel like you are alone, it's your fear talking to you. Mm-hmm. That's what I try to explain with the different exercises in the book, like that, for instance, that mind mapping exercise.
Yeah. You were talking about the spiritual guides and the angels. Go into that a little bit more.
Well, before, it's my understanding and belief from being a medium and from all the meditation and study I've done, but mostly meditation and feeling the sense that we have between 5 and 7 guides with each individual person at all times, whether we believe it or not. Our lives are that important that we have that many guides around us. So anyway, we have our guardian angel who has our soul's template for what we meant to do and helps us through our life if we ask. And then we have many different guides that will teach us. Sometimes they're teacher guides that shift in and out of our lives. And we have guides that are just with us. Sometimes they can be loved ones from the other side. Sometimes they can be ancestors. And then we have ascended masters that come in and out of our lives that say, you're going, you're doing okay, or take a left turn here. And then we do have, again, our core team, not just our guardian angel that sticks with us for our whole life. That's how important our lives are here as we live them. So we're not just little insignificant dots. We're important, mm-hmm. we're smart, and we have resources. And those resources, if we use them from the heavenly resources, it triggers the talents and gifts that we have within ourselves for us to recognize them and use them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing those things, Nancy. And one more question with that. How do they present themselves to us? Like, go left, go right, you were saying, right? How would they present themselves
question.
To us?
Through our intuition. And I have a lot of things that I talk about, intuition in the book, and it's trusting your intuition. And when going back to when we learn to trust ourselves, this is what makes me happy, this doesn't make me happy, I'm going to breathe deeply so I nurture my body, our intuition starts speaking up. We start hearing that small voice, not the fear voice, but the small voice inside that's connected to our spirit, that's connected to our soul, mm-hmm. that begins to speak to us. And the intuition comes through our physical body, through our feelings, clairsentient, our clairvoyant, our what we envision, clairaudient, what we hear in our inner ear, and clairalience and clairgusting, what we smell and taste. Do you ever go into a room and you go, this room stinks? Or you meet somebody and you say, I have a bad taste in my mouth from this deal, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Those are intuitive hits, and pay attention to them. Your intuition is trying to say, pay attention to this, go a little deeper, do a little bit more research, or back away and get slowly mm-hmm. and run. But it's our intuition that connects us to our higher power. So I really recommend people develop their intuition however way they can. There's so much on YouTube. There's so much out there. And there's talk about it in my book as well, about developing your intuition.
Yeah. And so I don't want you to give too much away for us today, Nancy, because people still need to go and purchase the book. But one more time, what is the title of the book and where can we find it?
Okay, Divine Love Affair, An Akashic Journey. And you can find it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. I believe those are two. I would go to Amazon. Barnes and Noble is an amazing way to purchase things. You may find it in a store near you, but I think for the most part, Amazon or Barnes and Noble.
Okay. And the revised version is available now, or it's being revised?
It's going to be available in a couple of weeks. And the audio is coming out in a couple of months. So it's
wonderful.
Just right around the corner.
All right. Great. Nancy, anything else that you want our audience to take away from your time here today?
That no matter where you are in your life, you're at the perfect place. And that you're fine, even though you might not feel that you're fine, there are steps you can take to reconnect to your soul, to your spirit, to your higher guidance that will help your life move forward, no matter where you are or what you are doing. And nobody's life is ever wasted. You're not alone. But you can do, if you want to change it up, you can change it up. And there's lots of tools in my book and anywhere else in the world, positive tools that can help you find the dream, create the dream that you want.
Yeah. All right, Nancy, thank you so much. This is My Life Now, and we hope to have you back for your next book.
Thank you for listening and supporting another episode of My Life Now.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast show and share it with a friend.
Together, we can keep the message of these books alive.
Until we turn the next page together, stay classy.